Coach Harrison and I met 5 years ago, and we were in a pool. Don't ask why. And I remember thinking, I like that guy.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby. Joining me today, Lindsey Crosby, our regular Monday guest. How are you, friend?
I'm doing great. Went through a coma a few hours ago, so nice and rested and ready for this.
Yeah, I've been texting you all afternoon, like, all right, you good doing this, and the time, and making sure you're still good, and I'm like, he's not answering me. I wonder what's going on. But yeah, sounds like you slept for like 6 hours this afternoon.
It was a nice and strong two-hour nap. It was a couch nap, so like it was very dad.
Yeah.
Like it was on the couch with baseball on. It was great.
Well, I expect a lot of energy from you then. Is that fair? Can I expect
that? I'm here. I got it.
So
let's go, baby.
Something I wanted to do today, because there wasn't a whole lot of stuff that happened over the weekend. I was expecting some news to break, but here we are. So I was thinking we could go through the coaching staff and kind of predict a player or select a player that we think will benefit most from this coaching decision that is now a part of this coaching staff. Because it seems like we're only talking about three or four of these assistant coaches, and I want to make sure this audience of this show is familiar with the full coaching staff, because we have not been talking about guys equally. I mean, we talk about Cornelius Williams a good bit. We talk about Nick Eason a ton because this is a Nick Eason podcast. But, I mean, like Schmetting, and he's a huge part of this coaching staff. We don't talk about Jeff Schmetting. We haven't really talked a whole lot about Will Friend since he's been hired. And, Bert Watts as well. And these are guys that have multiple roles in this coaching staff. So I thought it would make sense for us to kind of do this on a Monday and just kind of take folks through this and kind of have a little refresher before we talk more and more about this 2021 season. That work?
Sounds like a great plan to me.
Sweet. All right, so the first guy, we'll start at the top. We'll start with Coach Harsin, and we'll just go in order that Auburn lists the coaching staff. But Brian Harsin, obviously, is a good place to start, and I think this one is an obvious one. It is for me anyway. And I think Bo Nix is the guy that's going to benefit the most from Brian Harsin's time at Auburn. I mean, that's been a storyline. It's been a big question. I was on a podcast over the weekend, the College Football Experience. I think that's going to drop on Wednesday. We're going to play it on this podcast feed on Saturday. We'll have an extra show this week. But that's the first question he asked. It's like, can Brian Harsin fix Bo Nix? I mean, that is a national storyline, and I think he can. I don't think he's going to be a Heisman contender by any means, but I do think he will be significantly better. And I think Brian Harsin will be a big part of that.
See, I'm going to disagree with you there, because I have heard that Bo Nix is actually a dark horse for the Heisman.
He's very comfortable in this new offense, is what I've heard.
He's having a lot of fun. But I will agree it is Bo Nix. And it's simply like, for Bo, and I have more, you know, quarterbacky stuff when it gets to my answer, spoiler alert, for Mike Bobo. But for Brian Harsin, it's very much a, you know, who benefits more from the overall culture change around this program? You know, and it's Bo Nix from the perspective of when this team has that culture change of continuous competition and improvement and getting better every day. If that team is better, Bo Nix is better. And so it's very much culture-wise, Bo has the most to gain. They've brought in legitimate competition for him, arguably for the first time since he's been at Auburn. He's not guaranteed a job anymore. They've done a lot of work as far as making sure that guys on both sides of the ball are better. They've done a lot of work at the transfer portal to bring in personnel that can help this program. And so a better Auburn football team on both sides of the ball means Bo Nix's potential goes up.
I want to circle back to something you just said, because I'm hearing it all over the place and people are writing about it as well. This whole, like, Bo Nix hasn't had any competition since he's been at Auburn. Like, that is untrue. I mean, he had one off season where he was like clearly the guy going into the season. The other one was like, we didn't know if it was going to be him or Joey Gatewood for forever. So I just want to, like, not that I'm calling you out, brother, but I just want to point that out, because, like, I really thought Gatewood was going to win it. And a lot of people did. And so I just don't think that's a true thing.
Yeah. There's, So there's a lot of debate in the fan base about whether or not the Gatewood Knicks competition was a true competition.
That's fair.
And I think it's simply because a lot of people were looking too much at the fact that Bo Nix was a legacy. His dad had played here, and they thought it was just predetermined that he was going to be the quarterback. And so I'm not necessarily saying it wasn't a true competition. I'm saying, you know, like, is there there's a common misconception that the scale was weighted towards Bo in that competition. And so this is an offseason where, from everything we've seen from this staff, nobody is just guaranteed anything. And so even if you believe that that wasn't a true competition, it definitely, you know, it's a true competition now simply because of this coaching staff's not going to do something like that. And so that's really where the aspect goes. I actually like Joey Gatewood as well. I thought he was entertaining to watch, and he had a lot of potential. Reminded me a lot physically of Cam Newton and what Cam did. And I thought that Gus would really enjoy that type of player on the field. And we just never saw it at Auburn. And so far, I haven't seen it at Kentucky either. But
no, Gus loved Bo. There's no question about it. And I think Harsin will too. I tried to be a little different with this answer, to think about like a young player that could benefit. I mean, you talked about the eventual culture change that will happen. It's already starting to happen, but I think it's going to take a little while to fully get there. But I was trying to think, like, D. Davis, you know, if he's the quarterback after Bo, or even Finley, you know, whoever the quarterback after Bo is, may benefit from Harsin even more, just because it's going to be a totally different system and the culture will be integrated inside the locker room fully at that point. So, I mean, just to kind of, you know, add a little spice so it's not just Bo Nix, Bo Nix, Bo Nix, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to go out after seeing that quote from Demetrius Davis's dad over the weekend. I wanted to say it was D. Davis. He's coming in with the right mindset and all of that, but it's just, it's too hard to ignore the Bo Nix as quarterback under Brian Harsin storyline.
Right.
I mean, it's there for a reason. It's a national storyline for a reason. And so it's hard to not give them this answer.
All right, tight ends coach, Brad Bedell. I have Brandon Frazier for this one. Younger guy, I think he's going to be there for several years under Bedell, and he'll kind of get the chance to fully be integrated with his system and kind of what he wants from the tight end position, because I think what is asked of the tight end position is going to change from the Malzahn era to the Harsin era. We've talked about that time and time again. Auburn fans want the tight end to be involved in the passing game more than oxygen at times, it seems. And I think Bedell's main guy will be Frazier over the course of the guys that are currently on this roster's career. Maybe not year one, but I think over the course of their careers at Auburn, I think Frazier's the guy.
See, I had Brandon Frazier as well. My perspective of that was looking at some of Bedell's history, and his history is very much offensive line. His history, I mean, he was the offensive line coach at Boise. He coordinated the run game. And so I saw him coming in with the tight ends, but not necessarily from that perspective of including them in the offense to the level that we want. Mm-hmm. We're going to see multiple tight ends on the field at once, but we're not going to see them, you know, lined up five wide with two tight ends on the field throwing the ball all the time. We're going to see the tight ends working more as a traditional inline tight end, maybe a second one split out wide. And so I thought Brandon Frazier, he's that obvious combination of size as well as blocking ability, but then Luke Deal as well. 6'5", 255. He's a bigger guy. He's known for his blocking. He needs to work a little bit on his offense, obviously, as far as pass catching and running routes. But since you took Brandon Frazier, I'm tempted to change my answer to say Luke Deal, simply because you have to figure out who that second tight end is going to be. And this upcoming season, it's probably going to be John Samuel Schenker, the senior in the room. I do believe he's actually a super senior. He's got plenty of experience. But after he leaves, I really think it's going to be the Frazier Deal combo going forward.
You're listening to Locked On Auburn. Today's show brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to place wagers on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline.ag, as well as several other postseasons happening right now. Even get in on the action ahead of time, and a lot of NFL and college football futures right around the corner for you to participate in at BetOnline.ag. When you make your first deposit after creating your first or your free account on BetOnline.ag, use promo code LOCKEDON to get 50%. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Lindsay, next up, Mike Bobo, obviously the offensive coordinator. I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I put Bo Nix as well.
I also put Bo Nix, and that's mostly a play calling aspect. I see Mike Bobo as having more of a cohesive plan on offense than Gus. Very much felt like he was calling a collection of plays versus calling a cohesive game plan. And so I just see the improvement in Bobo's play calling translated into improvement in Bo Nix's chemistry with the receivers and his play during the game.
Next up, defensive line coach Nick Eason. A lot of Auburn folks call him Thick Eason. I said Tony Fair, the grad transfer from UAB, for this one. We talked about it when he committed. And I mean, he has 1 year left. He has used every single drop of eligibility that the NCAA gives a player. And I mean, he's been playing college football for a very long time. And he's in a situation after last season where he said, hey, I can do this. I can get to the next level. I can provide for my family. I am going to go play for a guy that coached defensive line for a decade and in the NFL. And so I'm going with Nick Eason's, or Tony Fair is the best, the guy that benefits the most from Nick Eason.
See, I went a little bit different here. I said Jeremiah Wright, which I feel like is probably not as popular of an answer. There's probably a listener yelling at their phone right now. But for
here,
me,
I'll do that. I'll be the Lindsay. He got hurt.
Yeah, and this is more of a going forward future thing. He, when we did see him play, you know, like what was the biggest storyline that we heard when he was in practices was just how dominant he looked.
Yeah,
he converted from offensive line during preseason camp, and he looked great. He was in the Citrus Bowl, and he looked. I mean, he looked like a man among boys. And so he obviously has natural talent, but he doesn't necessarily – I mean, he played in high school, but he doesn't necessarily have the technique. He doesn't have the finer points of the game. And I feel like if there's anybody that can teach him that, it's going to be someone who's done this at a high level like Nick Eason. So it's kind of like our conversation earlier. I think in year one, yeah, Tony Fair is gonna play out of his mind – for Nick Eason. But going forward, I really see somebody like Jeremiah Wright learning a lot from Nick Eason and becoming potentially an NFL prospect from getting that top level coaching like he's going to get from Nick Eason.
And then, I mean, Colby Wooden is another guy that's going to benefit from him, but that one seemed like a no brainer. So I don't want to put that.
I wanted to say JJ Pegues because we have to talk about JJ Pegues every time possible.
Oh, we don't have
and
to.
I was like, avoid it. Avoid it if at all possible. Everybody talks about JJ Pegues all the time now. Avoid it if we can, but I wanted to, that was kind of the trolling answer was JJ Pegues.
Sure. Several good answers for Nick Eason.
Yes. There's a plethora of young talent on this defensive line, a lot of sophomores and freshmen. And so Nick Eason has the potential to be probably the most impactful position coach at Auburn of the next 4 years.
Yeah. A lot of young talent. So naturally I went with a guy that's almost 30. Tony Fair. All right. Offensive line coach, Will Friend. Who'd you put for this one?
So for Will Friend, I actually said Austin Troxel.
Why?
Because I hate myself. No, because we need. I feel like we need a tackle to step up and to just kind of submit. To, like, hey, I'm going to be your SEC tackle.
Uh huh.
And I don't know who it's going to be. But I feel like if there's ever a time for Austin Troxel to actually do it, now is the time.
Yeah, I mean, he's running out of time.
He's running out of time. But you know Will Friend has gone in there and he said, okay, like, who do I have? Who can do what? How can we do this? And I just – and really, it's – I mean, that's the thing. I think whoever's going to benefit the most, we don't know right now. But we're going to know in week one when they roll out there and we're all a little bit, that's who's starting? And then they're just going to blow it away all season. Like this really is a, I think you could pick half a dozen names and you'd be right. Or you'd be like completely wrong. I just trust Will Friend to go in there and find someone to cement a position on the edge. I don't know who it's going to be.
I went with Tayshaun Manning. I wanted to go with Brandon Council because this is a Brandon Council podcast. Yeah. Can't stress that enough, but he's already like good enough to be in the league. Like, he's already good enough to be a top tier SEC offensive lineman, assuming he can come back and be healthy. And I think some of that's out of Wolfram's hands. So I went with Tayshaun Manning because Justin Ferguson has kind of convinced me that Tayshaun Manning wasn't a bad guard last year. And he hasn't been playing that position for very long. And I think with another kind of coach's perspective after what he was doing last season, maybe he can take that next step because he's still pretty raw. And so maybe some more proper coaching can kind of help turn that around. And look, I think the whole offensive line is going to benefit from a number of things, but the biggest thing is the play calling aspect that you've already touched on, because a lot of the scheme and a lot of the checks, I mean, Jordan Rodgers just totally picked Auburn apart after that Auburn-Georgia game with these checks and these, you know, the lack of calls that they were able to make at the line and things like that. All that's going to go away. And I think all of these coaches or all these offensive linemen are going to benefit from this whole new coaching regime. But I put Tayshaun Manning in there because Brandon Castle was seemed like he was already at that point. So I kind of wanted to pick somebody else. And I'm not putting Nick Broms. So
I wanted to put Garner Langlo, and he's only a freshman, and I just didn't think we'd actually see him play for at least one season. And so it wouldn't be a very satisfying answer, but I think bringing in a high school offensive tackle, you know, who's strong and aggressive, like, and then giving him an actual, you know, coach and development and a good play, a scheme to work in could work wonders, but it's not a very satisfying answer because we won't know anything for at least two seasons on Garner Langlo. I just, really, this was whoever Will Friend thinks is best, because he'll find somebody.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be surprised at some of the improvement we see in that line pretty early, because Will Friend's going to go out, and I trust him to figure out that talent better than we have so far.
All right, next up is Derek Mason, obviously Auburn's defensive coordinator. I thought this was obvious. I said Smoke Monday.
Yeah, I actually had Owen Papo for it, but I think probably for the same reason you did. And it's simply just as far as leading the defense, kind of captaining out there and directing traffic and really developing that coach on the field mentality so that he can go to the next level.
He also coaches safeties. I mean, I think that's a big part of it too. And so,
yeah, that's a big part of that. Yeah, if, I can see that.
If Ladarius Tennyson had not have left, he would be my answer for this. But he hurt me. I'm sad. All right. Next up is, all right, let's do Zach Etheridge. Let's do Zach Etheridge next, Auburn's cornerbacks coach. And this is a tough one for me because I think regardless of who the cornerbacks coach is, Roger McCreary is going to get drafted very high and be a top SEC corner. So I didn't go that direction. I'm going to go with Jalen Simpson here because I think he's going to kind of get pushed back a good bit. On the depth chart with all the transfers and things like that. I think he may not get as much playing time as a lot of people think he's going to. We'll have to see. We'll know that very, very early in the season, I believe. But he'll be a guy that comes back next year and could be the number one corner on this defense. And Zach Etheridge will be a big part of developing that. So that is my answer.
That's actually kind of the exact answer that I had, pretty much for that exact reason, is it's not so much a next season answer, but it's going forward from that. You know, like you said, we're very almost top heavy in that room. A lot of juniors and seniors who are going to be draft eligible or are going to graduate. And so who's going to lead that next wave? And I had kind of picked out Jalen Simpson as a guy, probably won't play a lot this season barring injury, but he's really going to have time to develop, work with Zach Etheridge, and then he would be the guy going forward. So.
I'm really high on Roe Torrence as well, the JUCO kid that we just got, but I don't know how much of a splash he's going to make day one. So I think you could put him in that same conversation. I think Roe Torrence and Jalen Simpson would be a great corner combo if Auburn doesn't do anything in the transfer next offseason for going into 2022. I really believe that. Today's show brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the planet. Lindsay, have you ever had a protein bar better than Built Bar?
I have not. It's impossible.
Nope, it is impossible. They've got a ton of different flavors. They have different flavors for everyone. Coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint, brownie, peanut butter brownie. My wife and I, over the weekend, we started Weight Watchers, and we were looking at different points for different protein bars. And it's funny because like Built Bar is like half the points as everything else because it's actually stuff that's good for you, not like a lot of the big name brand bars that people get. It's actually true. It's actually true. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15. That is at BuiltBar.com. Moving on ahead as we continue our list, Lindsey Crosby. Next up is Jeff Schmetting. And Jeff Schmetting has a long list of titles. He's assistant head coach, linebackers coach, run game coordinator, aka the defensive coordinator after Derek Mason leaves. I have, this is an interesting answer, I think, but I put Wesley Steiner because I think Schmetting will be on this coaching staff for as long as Brian Harsin is here, unless he's just here for a very, very long time and then he goes on and becomes a head coach somewhere, because I think he's in the plans in the future to be promoted from within. So I think you got to look at the next wave of linebackers, because I think a lot of what Owen Papo and Chainsaw McClain have done already, I mean, Travis Williams was an outstanding linebackers coach, and they got to reap the benefits of that. And so now they get a different perspective, which they will benefit from, I think. I believe that. But as far as long-term for the program, I think Wesley Steiner is the next guy that's going to be in the middle of the defense. So that is why I'm saying him.
That makes perfect sense. As far as, you know, Jeff Schmetting's a star in the making. He'll be here for a while. And I wanted, like, yours makes perfect sense. I wanted to say Zacoby McClain simply because I know he wants to work on his pass defense. And I feel like Jeff Schmetting is going to make sure that he learns that. I don't necessarily know if it'll be good enough to get him drafted. But thinking more about it and using your perspective, I think Joko Willis could be somebody that might surprise us going forward. We heard good reviews come about him after he signed with us, as far as his speed, his physicality. He has a little bit of better size.
Right.
And he's obviously plenty of eligibility. And so he's somebody, you know, we're going to lose that top trio of McClain, Wooten, and Papo after this year. He's somebody who I could see as kind of rising up out of that underclassman group and starting potentially, you know, 3-4 years at Auburn. And so, you know, having that same coach for his entire time would be very beneficial for him as well as for us.
All right, another guy, Bert Watts, was brought in to be the special teams coach and outside linebackers, which is interesting to me. So you look at some of the edge guys, they're listed as edge players currently on Auburn's roster. I kind of wonder if they'll ever change that to stand-up defensive end or not. But I've got two. I couldn't really decide which way I wanted to go with this. Derek Hall for this year, Romello Height for, you know, the course of their career. You know, I'm still very high on Romello Height because he is very, very tall, and I think his frame is going to fill out, especially with Pittman being, you know, the main guy bulking all of these guys up.
Does Romello Height have a lot of height?
Yes, a ton. 6'5" of it, actually. But okay. Very high on both of these guys. I think they'll both have a chance to really have productive careers, you know, as far as impacting opposing quarterbacks when they're in the pocket. So, yeah, I went that route more than the special teams route.
Yeah, this was a struggle for me. I wanted to talk special teams here. And then when you go back and you look at Bert Watts' history, he actually has never done special teams. He's always been a linebacker's coach, a defensive coordinator, and things like that. And so, honestly, I kind of see him as being the linebacker's coach once Schmetting becomes a defensive coordinator. And so it's hard for me to go and talk about special teams with him. Where'd my note go? I actually had Eku Liota for this. It's something where Eku Liota, you know, he comes in. He was the best player pretty much on his team. He's moving to a more competitive conference. This is a chance for him to get a lot of one-on-one work with a talented coach. And if he's going to unlock that next level potential, it's going to be with Bert Watts. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but if Bert Watts is as good a coach as Brian Harsin tells us he is, and as Jeff Schmetting tells us he is, then I think Eku Liota could have 2 years or a year and a half of SEC dominance and then be a decent draft pick for the NFL.
And Watts is a guy that Lorando talked about when we aired his conversation on Wednesday. So, yeah, I mean, the thing with Liota is just like, there's so much we don't know about him because he didn't play that much at Northwestern. But when he got on the field, he was really effective and productive and one of their best pass rushers. But Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I was a lot higher on Ekwu Liotta when he signed than I am now, but I think it's just, I've talked about this a ton. I think it's just a recency bias thing. I think Liotta's going to be a stud. I really do. Moving on, Carnell Williams. I don't think we'll spend a whole lot of time on this. The guy that he runs, that runs just like him, Tank Bigsby. You got anything to add there?
We've upgraded from a Cadillac to a tank. I mean, no, we're on the same page on this one. 100%. We can move on.
Yeah, last one, then Cornelius Williams. I went with a guy that is a very natural wide receiver. We haven't made that joke in a while. It's been weeks since I've been able to say that. But yeah, I've got Kobe Hudson because I can't not put Kobe Hudson down. I love him.
I'm aware. Yes, I am fully aware that you love him. So I actually went Zevian Capers for this.
Oh, you went the wrong direction. Okay.
I went the wrong direction, yes. And no, it's just something where he's the guy that we talk about as far as having the size. He was that blue chip prospect coming out. And we need someone to step up at wide receiver because we've lost most of our production. And yes, Kobe Hudson is going to be a stud on this team and a stud in the NFL. I mean, I'll go ahead and say it now. He's a guaranteed Hall of Famer. Such a natural wide receiver. He's a guaranteed NFL Hall of Famer.
He's very natural.
He's very natural. Can't stress enough how natural he is.
Yep.
But no, but Zevian Capers is somebody who I see as having the physical tools, but he just needs someone to help him get that technique, that leadership. It's a very young position group, and somebody's got to step up. And it feels to me, just watching a lot of the receivers that Cornelius Williams has coached, like Zevian Capers reminds me a lot of those guys. And if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be him.
All right. You want to act like we want to put Brad on the coaching staff?
Like, listen, the football roster lists him under coaching staff, and so my answer for Brad LaRondo is definitely going to be the wellness kitchen chef. That's who's going to benefit the most with that Italian influence, that chicken parm there in the wellness kitchen. I fully anticipate like that being a program changing. Coaching adjustment that LaRondo is going to come in and make. Probably already made it, actually.
My answer for Brad LaRondo is he's really going to impact the chicken parm economy in the Auburn, Opelika, and Lee County area. I mean, we've already seen it with events that we've been at firsthand. And now, you know, we're every Monday night where we do our broadcast for Charlie Tuesdays live at 7 o'clock. Please join us if you're listening to this on Monday. Yeah, come over and hang out with us tonight at Baumhauer's. But they have a chicken parm now, and it's delicious. It's perfect.
I may or may not have bought marinara sauce futures when Brad LaRondo came in. Just know, I was like, listen, I'm going to make a quick buck off of this.
Is Prego publicly traded? Are you looking it up?
I'm looking it up real quick. Yeah, hang on.
This is not actually, financial advice.
Yeah, this is not legally binding or anything like that, but I actually do believe that the owner of Prego is a – Yes, they are. They are owned by Campbell's. They are publicly traded. So there you go.
Just saying. Lindsay, where can people find you and hear you, buddy?
I am at Auburn Banker on the socials and in the Discord. And you can hear me Monday through Friday, 7 through 9 on newstalkwani.com for Auburn Opelika this morning.
Lindsay filled in for me all last week on the show. He did an outstanding job. Thank you so much, my friend.
Of course.
Follow me on Twitter at ZBlackerby, the show on Twitter at Locked On Auburn, and on Instagram at Auburn Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with a Charlie Tuesday live from Baumhauer's, right here on Locked On Auburn.